Sure is. And this is the hour we'll take your phone calls and your paranormal stories with Dave Schrader. So get ready on Coast to Coast AM. David, what do you think of possession? Have you witnessed people being possessed? I have.
You know, the jury's still out for me, George. I've seen people that claim to have things interfering with them. I've never been in direct contact with a full-blown possession, thankfully. You know, as a father, I try to keep myself from situations that may open me up to that type of thing.
Right.
And I think you have to be careful when you're in this field of realizing that what you do doesn't just affect your life, but it can affect the lives of those people around you. So I'm very cautious with what I get involved in. And I've seen people at events and locations that feel that they've had a ghost walk in through them or has used their energy or perhaps channeled a ghost. But to date, no, I have not had any direct contact with a quote-unquote demonic possession or that. And, you know, you brought up on Darkness Radio earlier, you know, it's a very fine line, and I'm not a psychologist or psychiatrist. I don't know if it's just a deep mental issue or if it truly is something of the darker nature. So I would be reluctant to make a snap decision on that anyway, but I'm lucky enough that I've not been around that.
Okay, let's go to some of the phones. We'll come back talking and chat more with David Schrader. Let's go to Mark in Detroit, Michigan. Hi, Mark, go ahead.
Hello, Mr. Nari, and hello, David.
Hello.
Okay, I'm going to agree with you, David, 111% about what you saw, or that light, that UFO.
Yes.
Let me tell you what happened. And you said the portal, right? The black circle, the big black hole, big where. Well, anyway, mine went, as I told George Norrie a few months, a month ago or something like that, that what happened to me in Detroit at this corner. And I want to finish the story because I didn't get a chance to. Now, this UFO followed me. It finally came down in front of me. It beamed me with its light. I hollered. I couldn't say anything else after so long. And then I had to look up at it. Now, I want to let you know, that movie V that used to come on Channel 7 last year?
Sure.
Yeah, man. ABC.
Okay, yeah. Listen. You know how at the end of that last one that they just had, that they had, how this lady came out of the bottom of the basement, and then she came up, and everybody was looking up?
Yeah.
They were just looking at the light. That's how it is, because it engulfs you. And it engulfed me where I couldn't say anything anymore. So now I was like, oh, my God, in my mind, I was like, oh, my God, I know I ain't standing in the light. It said, yes, you are, in my mind. And then I said, I know I'm not being illuminated. It said, yes, you are. I said, I know I ain't brilliant. It said, yes, you are. Took the light off me. Everything went back to fast motion because it hit me in the light, and you can't move after that. It's real hard to move. And then it shot up in the air about 3,000 feet, and then the sky opened, George North, from Gratiot. You know how Gratiot is. To go to Jefferson. So yes. That would be a parallel line north and south. It opened like an elevator door. The sky opened to a complete portal circle, total blackness up there in the sky. It opened up like an elevator door. It turned once into a fireball, and then the sky turned to Avatar blue all over Canada, all over Caesar's Palace, all over in back of the GM building. And then it's turned again, and then into a circle going east. Turned again, and then the sky turned to fire, and fire red, and then it turned again, and then the sky turned to lightning, and then it went into it dissipated as it turned the next time and went into it, and then the sky the clouds closed back, and then I'm sitting there like, oh my God, and so where the light was beaming on me at, it was still like a circle, a plume of smoke just sitting there for like about 30 minutes. And then it started to dissipate north and south. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm waiting for this to come back all night. My body is still shaking from this still going on from 2007. And like you said, it'll stay with you all your life. You know, where it stay with you for the meanwhile, it stays with you. Put it like that. It's still with me. So that's why I have to call back and, like, get this out because I keep trying to tell people they are not ready. They are not ready for this.
Were you afraid, though, Mark, of any of this?
Yes, at first. But then after I couldn't holler anymore, It was just like a calming, cool, everything on the side of my peripheral vision was blocked out because I had my eyes straight at the light because it was so bright, but it was still a comforting light where it would be like, you know how those LED lights you can buy at the store and they have like the little circles going around? They got a lot of little lights in it.
Yeah.
And it looked like that when you're looking dead at it. And I'm telling you, George Norris, they ain't ready. And remember, where in Detroit, it was a Indian territorial ground type.
Sure
of,
was. Yeah,
so I'm looking at it like, okay, this might be some of that Dogon, the Blue Star type of Black Star type of situation.
Well, let's bring in David here for a second. David, let me ask you something. Of the serious mystery, have you ever done any of that on your Darkness radio show where the Dogon tribe knew before we did, before telescopes were invented, before anything was going on, what was up there?
Yeah, we've covered that briefly. I think it was back in our second or third season talking about that. And it is amazing to me, and not only them, but how many other cultures have ideas and knowledge of space and time and where things come from. As a matter of fact, there's a great book called The Hidden Records by an author by the name of Wayne Herschel. Have you ever had Wayne on the show?
He may have been on a long time ago with Art.
Right. He has this book, and you can check out his website, thehiddenrecords.com. What he did that was really intriguing to me is he believes that we are from Pleiades, and that if you take and map out the Aztec, Mayan, and Egyptian ruins, and he's actually stretched out further than anybody else I've ever seen do it, and he puts it in his book, and he put them on transparencies in front of me to show me this layout, how it all lays out perfectly with the star maps, and how three different cultures in three different parts of the world have the same look. And he said, this wasn't for them, Dave. This is for us to show the visitors out there where we come from. And what was more intriguing to me was that he then took it and he said, you've heard about the face on Mars and you know about the ruins off to the side. And he laid the transparency over it and they lined up and matched perfectly, showing that he believes we were colonized on Mars at one point and that we had to move to Earth because of issues with the Mars terrain. But he believes that we are giving a sign to the visitors and to other alien life to show this is where we come from, this is who we are, and those signs on the ground in the lines of these ruins are kind of our little key code to the rest of the universe of who we are and where we come from.
All right, let's go to Rosalie in Los Angeles, California. Rosalie, go ahead.
Hi.
Hi,
you know,
welcome.
I just caught the last of what this gentleman was talking about on encounters with people that have passed over. And I know, Mr. Norrie, that you've always questioned that about people that pass over. I've had so many encounters with everyone in my family who has passed over. I have even had, when my dad died, I was in a room by myself with him, and I told him, I whispered in his ear, and I said, Dad, in all my life, you never said you loved me. And after we made the funeral arrangements and everything for him, I had dreamed of him because he asked me if he was going to go to hell, and because he was a good man. And I told him, no, he was. This was about a month before he died. I said, I don't think he was going to hell, but he did have to pay for the things that he did do here. And he says, how did I know this? And I couldn't tell him how I knew it, but I just said he wasn't going to hell. Well, he dies, and I dream of him after he died, and I told him when he died that he never told me he loved me. So I dream of him when he died, and he says, I just want to let you know I'm okay, and I'm asking for forgiveness here. So when I went home after we had seen that the arrangements were made, I went home, and I got a phone call. And someone on the other line said, I let everyone in my family hear this message. My son, he's in electronics. He says, Mom, let me record this. They came out to try to record it, but they couldn't get it recorded. And it lasted for 31 days, but everyone heard him. And he hadn't told me that. And you're right. If we ask, I need this. I need something. I need some because I think they can't interfere in our lives without permission. And if you ask them to shed some light on something you're going through, people don't take the time to sit and listen, because you'll find the answer either through the TV, it just comes, somebody's talking about it, or you open a book and the answer's right there, or somebody comes in your life and the answer's there. We don't take the time because we're in an everyday routine, but they help us.
They do help us, and I think it's changing. David, I think more and more people are starting to get tuned into all this, don't you?
Oh, I agree. I think that, you know, as we're progressing as a people, and, you know, I think there was a large awakening that took place on our planet on September 11th, 2001. And I think that people were seeking answers outside of religion and theology and reconnecting with spirituality and looking for these answers. And I think that that's why there's this reawakening to the spiritual nature of the world again and more acceptance of different beliefs and theologies. I think that we are in that place. And again, I agree with your caller wholeheartedly. You know, it does say that, you know, we have free will. And in order for the angels to work in our benefit, we have to ask for them to intercede for us. So, you know, I firmly believe that ask and ye shall receive. And I think that that's a great notion.
Well, it sure is. Okay, let's go to Randy, first-time caller, Port Smith, Virginia. Hey, Randy, thanks for calling.
Thanks for having me on here. I have a short little ghost story when I was growing up, and my own theory in UFOs and aliens. My ghost story was we moved in this house. This was when I lived in Tennessee, and we moved in this house. The boy had died of leukemia, and that's why they moved their son. And it was a two-bedroom house. And I had my two brothers live there at the time, but they was about to move out and everything. So I had the whole three bedrooms upstairs by myself. But I was always felt some kind of presence up in this one room where the boy lived. I don't know if that would be him or not. But one night, you know, I always slept with my door closed or whatever. And my stereo just started blasting out of nowhere. Woke me up out of my bed. You know, I thought maybe the alarm was on. So I started trying to turn it off. Wouldn't turn off. So I unplugged the radio. It didn't turn off. So I started getting kind of, you know, a little bit. I was like, so I ran downstairs, you know, got my mom. She came upstairs. It was off then. So after that, I was terrified. I'd sleep down with my mom. And then after a while, I never seen nothing or heard nothing else besides that. And I started talking to it, and just like as in talking, as in like, hey, how you doing today? You know, I don't know, you know your name, whatever. And I'd actually started feeling that peace, and no more things waking me up out of the night, nothing. But I still felt the presence there, that there was something there. I don't know what, I don't know if it was a ghost or maybe an angel or whatever. But I would tell whatever. I'd be like, I'll see you in the morning. I'm going to sleep now. And I'd close the door and have it all dark, just as dark as I could in there. And I just felt at peace, and nothing ever came of it. I never heard no more noises, no nothing. I don't know if it was just letting me know what was that there was something there with the radio that one night or not.
What? Why does the other side try to communicate, David? What do they want?
You know, that's the $100,000 question. You know, what are they trying to do? Are we holding them here? There's a great line in the movie Ghost Town, starring Ricky Gervais, where he talks about the ghosts may not be here because they have a need from us. It's because we have a need for them, and we're haunting them, keeping them here. And, you know, maybe it is just to give us that moment and to give us that closure. I actually, there's a theory, George, that I'm completely enthralled with, the Bay Theory, by an investigator and researcher by the name of Misty Bay. She had explained when we were discussing one night over why are ghosts there? Why do ghosts haunt places like prisons and mental wards and hospitals? And why would they stay in these horrific places? And now, buying into the belief of theology, George, she said, okay, so we believe we die. And when we die, we go to the next level. We transcend And the best of what we are goes on to that level. There can be no room for the garbage, the petty, the jealousy, the greed, the paranoia. All the gunk of us stays behind. So it's filtered, and the best goes on to the next level. And she said, think about the kind of communication that we deal with. You know, very rudimentary communication, banging on the walls, flickering of lights, a get out type of EVP, mm-hmm. some very basic animal instinct, which would then explain pack mentality. That you wouldn't, you know, I would like to think if I'm going to haunt any place, it's going to be I'll be hanging out with my children or maybe the Minnesota Vikings cheerleaders locker room. I don't want to stay in a prison. I'm certainly not going to stay in a mental institution. I would find some place more exciting for me to be a part of. But if you have this basal animal instinct that's left, just the garbage of you, maybe that's why it stays in these packs and that's why eventually these hauntings dissipate and go away. But why they stay in clusters in these places that most of us would consider horrific in life, let alone to be stuck in through death.
Techniques for trying to pop the other side in a dream state? Just what, concentrate?
You know, I've had really good success talking to guests and myself when there's somebody you want to communicate with is just to put it out there. You know, intention is, as you and I discussed earlier on Darkness Radio this evening, intention is so important. And if you put that out to the universe and just say, I need to talk to you, Grandma. I really need to talk to you, Grandpa. I need to talk to you, Mom or Dad. And you put that out there. I've seen that people have really good results with that. And learning meditation to help quiet the mind and be able to differentiate between those subtle voices in our head, the nagging negative voices that we might normally have, and the voices of higher enlightened energy and spirits. I think that once we start to master those skills, that'll make communication so much easier.
What do you think of exorcisms, David?
I'm baffled by the whole form of exorcism. Reading the Bible, I grew up Christian. I went to Lutheran grade school. I've read, and I know that in the name of God, things should be cast out. But yet, these exorcists that are trained are going in, and it takes sometimes weeks and months in order to get these evil things out of people. And I find that very curious. I also find it extremely curious that if it's not a real thing, as so many people think, and it's just mental issues, why has the Vatican now opened up exorcisms as like a class in schooling? Why is there a full-time exorcist on staff at the Vatican? What is it that they know about that we don't? And is there something opening up? Is the veil thinning? Is the portal there that's opening up to these things having more availability to us? Is it because of that opening in spirituality and people dabbling in places they shouldn't be and not knowing how to protect themselves or take care of themselves that's allowing them to become more mischievous and damaging to our world?
Well, that could be too. Well, stay with us. We're going to come back, David, and take some final phone calls in just a moment. David's website again, darknessradio.com. He's also got a book out called The Other Side, A Teen's Guide to Ghost Hunting and the Paranormal. I'm George Norrie, and we'll be back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, Iran, Venezuela, are they trying to hack us? Find out why. Plus, later on in the program, Ancient UFOs with Marshall Clarfield on Coast to Coast AM. And we will be right back with final phone calls, so don't go away. David, what was it like being a judge for the Travel Channel's Paranormal Challenge TV show?
You know, George, that was a great, great time for me. I had such a fun time doing those 12 episodes, and getting to see all of these amazing haunted locations. And what really drew me to the job of being the judge was, and as I said, there's so many different groups that have popped up nationwide and worldwide because of shows like Ghost Hunters and Paranormal State and Ghost Adventures. And they're out there kind of haphazardly investigating and going into people's homes. And their real drive is not really to get answers or to help families. It's just a thrill ride. It's like a roller coaster for them. They want to find some proof for themselves and leave. And some of these people go in and stir up a hornet's nest, and they have no idea how to take care of it. And then they leave, and they leave the family in the lurch. And some of these families end up going through two or three paranormal teams before they finally get in touch with somebody like me to direct them to an actual group that's helpful. So I love doing the show so we could look at the way people investigate and break down some of the massive flaws and look at some of the things that they provide as proof and evidence of the other side. And, you know, that to me was a great chance. And I got to work with some of the greatest people in the field, including working, one of my favorite episodes was Linda Vista Hospital, working with Dr. Michael Shermer from Skeptic Magazine.
Oh, he's a great guy.
Oh, he's fantastic. And, you know, everybody thinks, oh, skeptics, they're the enemy. No, we all need to be more skeptical. And, you know, one of the best compliments I ever had was as we filmed this episode, there were times Michael Shermer would turn and say to me, wow, you guys are really good at what you do here. This is... you know, you guys are sometimes more skeptical than I am on some of these points. And it was just, you know, he was...
Well, it's healthy to be skeptical.
Oh, yeah, you've got to be. Because, again, so many things can be easily explained when you take a deep breath and step outside of the situation. And they can be. And that doesn't mean that the supernatural and the paranormal don't exist. It's just that sometimes, you know, sometimes a bang is just a bang. It's nothing of a supernatural ilk. It's nothing coming to claim your soul. It's just a tree banged into your house outside because of the wind, or a squirrel got into your walls, and the scratching you heard was that little fella zipping around. You know, I think that we need to kind of take a deep breath, take a step back, and reevaluate before we jump into, you know, being afraid of our own shadows.
Well, let's go now to the phones. Let's go to Snowshoe, Pennsylvania. Betty's with us. Hi, Betty.
Hi. Glad to finally get through. Super. I've got a story that will knock your socks off about possession, exorcism, a witch, small town in West Virginia. Okay. My mother, she was partially raised by a little old lady that lived up in a small town in West Virginia because my grandmother was a single mom, and she relied on neighbors to help watch her daughters when she worked. A lot of people were afraid of this older woman because they thought she was a witch. Well, when Mom and Dad got married, she gave them a bunch of stuff, some quilts, rocking chairs, and some furniture and stuff to help get them started in their new life. Well, time goes on, and the old lady dies. We were in a Pentecostal church, mm-hmm. and... all of a sudden, Mom would be reading the Bible, sitting in that rocking chair, and something would come over her, and she would just throw the Bible across the room. She would get so mad. And so one night it got so bad that Dad called the preacher to come over to the house, and the light started flickering on and off as soon as the preacher came in the house. And he started putting his hands on the light switch, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, get out of this house. And doors would start opening and shutting, closet doors upstairs. So the preacher went upstairs, and these quilts that this woman had given my mom, they would levitate, and they were trying to attack the preacher. So he had went through the whole house, left in the house, finally found my mom in the bedroom, sitting in this rocking chair, just didn't even look like herself. And he had actually, this Pentecostal preacher, performed an exorcism on my mom. Every light in the house was going crazy. Doors were slamming and opening. My mom, at one point, was being dragged across the room, her arms up in the air, her legs trailing behind her, and this voice coming out of her mouth saying, "You'll never get her.
Wow.
She's mine. You're not going to get her." So it took all night long.
Did you think you were going to lose her?
Hmm?
Did you think you were going to lose your mom?
Yeah, well... It was my brother, sister, and I were upstairs. We were kids. We were in bed asleep, supposedly. And when my dad started telling all this, I said, "No, Dad, I saw all this going on." He said, "No, you guys were asleep because we had neighbors come and check on you guys and stay upstairs with you." And he was telling me all this was going on, and I was telling him before he told me. But anyways, it took all night long, and finally the preacher went through the whole house, blessing the house, putting handkerchiefs, anointed handkerchiefs in all the closets. And he told us, "Kids, the next morning," he said, "I want you to get everything that you don't feel right about that's in your room, any toys, stuffed animals." Finally, he had his pickup truck loaded down and took them and burned them. And the Air I mentioned Devin in the Air Force, and this has all been documented somewhere in some files in the Pentecostal church. The Air Force moved us out of that house into a different house because the base commander and everybody knew what was going on, because they were all called that night, because everybody, neighbors were freaking out because of the lights going on and off and just everything. And lunatic all night long. And when it was done and over with, Mom was back to normal. She has no memory of this woman who supposedly raised her and her sister. She has no idea who this woman is.
And this thing has never come back to her.
It's never come back. I sometimes wonder if it's not lingering around somewhere because just the memories that my sister and I have that we shouldn't have because we were supposedly asleep, but we both described the same things before Dad even told us. And my sister and I, we've shared the same dreams and stuff. And
well, I got to tell you, the minister did a great job on that one, don't you think, David?
Oh, definitely. I mean, that is one of the full-blown crazy cases. I mean, that's when you've got, and by crazy, I don't mean mentally ill, but I mean, that's the full-blown out-of-control type case that, I'm glad that there are people, ministers, that are prepared and able to take care of that.
Let's go to Ontario, Canada. Alex, welcome to the program. Go ahead, Alex.
Good morning, Mr. Norrie.
And hey, morning.
Good morning, Dave. I spoke to Mr. Norrie a few nights ago about the old man from Persia. And last Sunday, my daughter and my friend went to church. I have a 16-year-old daughter. I'm a single dad. And in church, there was a section where they would pray for certain people who are in distress or whatnot. And my daughter decided to walk down. She got up and she walked down. And before she could reach the aisle, she dropped to her knees. And it was a sensational moment because she dropped to her knees and her voice changed. And the pastor at that moment saw it. She came to help her up and she went for the pastor's face. And this is a 16-year-old daughter who's home-studied. She doesn't go to school. She studies at home. She's homegrown. She's very peaceful. And she started laughing, and her eyes started moving, back, going back to her sockets, and just the whole episode. And, well, the pastor performed an exorcism right there. It took seven humongous muscular men to hold her down, and yet she escaped from them. And she went for the pastor. And I brought her home, and the pastor said that I have to bless the house and all that. She's sleeping in my bedroom. I go to her bedroom two nights ago. This happened on Sunday. As I open the door, I go inside the bedroom. You know, it's nice, clean, nothing wrong. The door shuts on me, and the lights go off completely in darkness. So I stand there. I say, okay, whatever you are, whoever you are, you know, you don't belong here. If you are something, oh, this is my daughter playing something in her head. But, Mr. Dave, I just wanted to make a comment to your work. I'm sure you've studied a lot of materials in your life, but one thing you have to explore, and that you will not get on Google, because in the Far East, there's a symbolism that they perform that when they put their paws together and they centralize it in the chest and they bow, that's a symbol of respect. Everybody knows that. But the real truth of it, you'll get it in Tibet. When you go to Tibet, you'll get the truth out of it. That's a symbol of every finger symbolizes a sense that we possess. Six of it has been recognized. Four is still in the darkness. Once we get to know what the other four is, I think we'll resolve a lot of the unknown mysteries around our dark realm called Earth.
You gave us a great story last time you were on, Alex, about the remote viewer from Iran who just did some incredible things. David, do you ever on your program look at end times? Do you do stories and shows on that?
Sure. I mean, how can we not? We're rapidly approaching 2012. And, you know, the Mayan calendar and now the other religions are stepping up with their theories. And, you know, it's funny to me, George, that every religion and every generation before us has believed that we are in the end times. And I guess if we keep believing that, eventually somebody's going to be right. I'm always intrigued when we have guests on and their different perspectives of what's coming next. And I'm more comforted by the newer age thoughts that And I do think that there's something to it, that what we're going through right now is a rebirthing process. I think that a lot of the tragedies and the earthquakes and the tsunamis and the volcanic eruptions and the things that are going on is a purging system that Earth is going through. And I think it's raising a consciousness in the world and bringing people to a different place, that I think that that's what's going to happen beginning in 2012. I think that we're starting to get into an awakening for the entire planet that's going to start to shift our paradigm and change the way people are to each other and showing each other that materialistic ways of the world are not the important thing. It's how we come together as a community and work together in that way. You know, there's the story of John Teeter.
The time traveler. Great story.
who talks about the fact that the future to them is us going back to the basics of trade and barter systems and being close to your family again. And as I hear the stories and I read more about John Teeter, I realize that there may be more to that case and story than a lot of people give credit to.
Yeah, I think so, too. Let's go to Cleveland, Ohio. It's Robert's turn. Go ahead, Robert.
Hi, George. I've been calling to the show for I don't know how many years since I was 12, and I love the show, and I'm thankful that you're talking about this subject, because this subject here alone is a basis of my whole family. Now, I was born Baptist Christian. Okay. Now, the thing about it is my whole family, they've always said that the men in our family, we are more open to our minds are more open to spirits more than anyone else. And I have two stories and then one question that I know two of the stories you're probably going to be like, wait a minute, that doesn't sound quite like that would be possible. But here it goes. The first thing that's ever happened to me, 4 years old, I remember walking into my parents' room, middle of the night, I'm asking them about can I get some drink or whatever, and I woke up out of a dead sleep. It's about 2:50 in the morning. I walk down the steps, I get to the kitchen, and for some reason, I don't know nothing about, I wasn't really scared of nothing. The only thing that scared me was Freddy Krueger at the time.
Right.
So, here it is. I'm standing in front of the refrigerator, and something just comes over me where I'm petrified. I don't even want to look. I don't want to move. And then I remember my brother always saying, well, that only happens to people when they're scared and little, and you're in the dark. But I close the refrigerator. Lights, you know, my eyes are adjusting back to the dark. And I see something out of the corner of my eye to my right, which is in the living room. I look, and it looks like another me, like a shadow. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, is that just a reflection of light or something? But there's no light. There's no light whatsoever. I start backing up, and this thing is coming towards me. As it's coming towards me, I'm starting to see it a little bit closer. It looked like me. And I'm like, oh, my God, no, what is this? What is this? So as it's coming closer and closer, I back all the way up to my window to the backyard. And out of nowhere, I'm staring at it. I'm petrified, but I'm starting to feel more calm now. And this blue light comes in through the window, and this lady in all in a bright fluorescent blue light comes flying, little hovering over me, stands down in front of me. And I don't know what she said. I cannot remember to this day what she said. But she says, go. Leave this house now. And this thing, it goes running right out the side, right out the door, right out the window, everything. And it turns back to me and goes, don't worry. Sooner or later, down the line, you're going to understand. And just disappears. I run back upstairs, screaming my head off, jump in my parents' bed. Next morning, my parents, they're looking through old photo albums and stuff, and my mom's saying, well, you know, I got to look for this picture. I don't know why. It's really bugging me. And she flips to this one photo, and I'm like, wait, Mom, look, this picture. Remember what I was telling you about last night? That's the lady that visited me. My mom goes, that's your great-grandmother.
Oh, wow.
In our entire family, she's been the main one to always come to our help whenever we really need it.
Now, here's an interesting question for you, Robert, and for you, David. Why don't they cross over to the other side? Why do they still hang around? You would think by then they either would have been reincarnated or long gone.
Well, George, you know, they may have crossed over. The belief is that our loved ones can come back once they've crossed. They can come back for visitations, and maybe in these cases, or again, as I said earlier, maybe this was an angelic stepping in to take care of things, but appeared in a face in a recognizable form to this family to give them comfort that they are not alone. Instead of it being some innocuous blue visage, it was grandma or great-grandma that helped them feel better about it. So I think that might have a little bit more to do with it.
Maybe so. Let's take one more call, and then we are out of time. Francine in Bedford, go ahead. Hi, Francine.
Hey, hello. Well, I had a few interesting experiences. I've actually seen some lights in the sky at night that move around that, you know, nothing that we have could do that and so forth. But what I really want to talk about tonight are some ghostly things that I have seen.
All right, and we've gone only about a minute and a half for you, so go ahead.
Okay, well, I was up in Windsor, California, and driving around with a friend up in the hills. It's very rural. It's called Chalk Hill Road. And we're just driving around and talking. We pulled over, and we're chatting away, and I noticed some shadows moving around in the trees. It's dark. You know, it's nighttime. And I'm kind of looking, and I noticed that some of them are a little closer towards the rear of the pickup truck, and they had form like people. And I looked towards the tailgate of the truck, and there's one of these. It's like it was like a shadow that's moving. You know, there was nothing making a shadow, and it starts walking up the side of the truck real slowly. And I'm looking at it, and it's looking at me. And as it's getting closer, I'm seeing the eyebrows and the eyelashes and stuff are kind of white. It was like a negative, and it just kept getting closer and closer. And it didn't feel malevolent or anything, but it was just a little bit too much for me. And I told my friend, I said, stop the truck. Let's go.
Yeah, let's move. That was a smart move, Francine. It sure was. David, we are out of time. I want to thank you for being on the show. Give us your website, David.
George, thank you. It's been a pleasure. Check out Darkness Radio Monday through Friday from 11 to midnight central at darknessradio.com. And then you can stay tuned for the best of Paranormal Talk Radio with Coast to Coast AM.
All right, David. And David's book is The Other Side. So make sure you're part of that as well. David Schrader, thank you so much. Make sure you're part of our next Coast to Coast program, Split Show. Lots of things going on this planet, and we'll have it right here on Coast to Coast AM. For David Bujinski, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur, Stephanie Smith, Ross Mitchell, George Knapp, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.